This morning I got up and I was in the basement of our house in my office, just kind of going over my notes, getting ready for this morning, and my son comes down, he's 3 years old, and the other day, the ceiling in that room has ceiling tiles, and the other day, I've been working on some stuff and moving around the ceiling tiles, and when you do that, you know, the kind of the dust and the little shavings fall and kind of make things dirty, and I hadn't cleaned it up. So my son comes in this morning, and I'm sitting in there, and beside me is this little table, and you can see all that kind of dust and things had floated down, all that kind of stuff. And so he says, "Dad, what's that?" And I said, "Oh, it's from the ceiling tiles." So then I started explaining to him, you know, I was up poking around up there in the ceiling, and I moved them around, and it started falling down, and that's where the dirt came from. And he just looks up at me, and he goes, he puts his hands up, and he goes, "I can't reach," because he's like, I can reach. It's like 7 feet. It's not a big, but he can't reach. He's 3 years old. He's this, "I can't reach. I can't reach. I can't reach." And I said, "No, you can't reach. There's no way that you could." We didn't have this conversation. He doesn't care. He just, "No, you can't reach." But in my mind, I'm thinking, there's no way you can reach. I mean, one day you might be able to, but you're going to have to grow a lot. Right now, it's just not possible for you. I'm way bigger than he is, and I can reach, but he can't. And what I'm wondering this morning is if a lot of us kind of feel like he did this morning in our spiritual lives, like there's something missing, like there's certain things that we cannot do, certain hurdles that we can't overcome, challenges that just seem too big for us. Maybe there's certain phases of your life where you're encountering the same problems over and over again, the same negative thoughts, the same negative emotions, the same habitual patterns of behavior that you think you can get over, you want to get over, you try and get over, but you can never do it. And you sort of feel like you're standing in the room like a three-year-old going, "I can't reach, I can't reach, I can't reach." Let me give you some examples. Anybody in this room ever get anxious? You don't have to answer that. I know we all get anxious. I'm with you. You ever get really anxious about something? You start worrying, and maybe it's your finances, maybe it's school, maybe it's something at work or a relationship, and you get anxious about it, and you start feeling really terrible, and you wish you didn't worry so much, and so you think, "I've got to figure this out," and so you go and search in the Bible, what does it say about anxiety? What does it say about worry, worry, worry? So you go and you Google it or on your a Bible app or something like that. Well, what does the Bible say about being anxious? And then you come to this beauty in Philippians chapter 4 that says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you could understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." And you go, what a wonderful thing. But then it doesn't work. And you pray, "Oh God, I'm worried about money. God, I'm worried about work. I'm worried about school. Oh, help me not to worry anymore." And maybe for a little while it works. Maybe it brings you down just a little bit, but you find that you go right back to worrying. And even if it works in that situation, the next day or the next week, you find yourself worrying again and you realize that you're not just a worrier, but you're kind of an anxious person. And you're wondering, how come, like, is my prayer broken? Did something not work there? Did I not say the right prayer? Did God not show up in a way that I could have never even imagined? Because the verse said that that's what he's going to do, but I'm not experiencing that in my life. I'm still worrying. And in fact, some of us will go, "I've been worrying for years and years and years. I've been worrying my entire life. Why is it not working? I can't reach. I can't reach. I can't reach." Some of us, we have other things going on and we've tried so hard. There's these character things in our lives or behavior things in our lives, and we've done things that we know we shouldn't have done. And we say to ourselves, "I'm never going to do that again." You lash out at your kids and you yell and scream at them, and then you go away and you go, "Man, they push my buttons, but I know I shouldn't do that. And I know I shouldn't yell at them, and I don't want to be that kind of person. And I don't know where this anger came from, but this is the last time I'm ever going to lose my cool with my family. Until the next time." It's the websites that I say, that's the last time I look at that stuff, because that's not me, that's not who I am, and I don't want to do this, and I know it's not good for my marriage, and I know it's not good for my soul, but I'm never going to do that again. I'm going to try so, so hard. And then we fail, and we go, "I can't believe I did it again." Or maybe there's bitterness, there's people that we can't forgive, there's people that we're mad at, there's relationships that are broken, and they just seem to continually be broken. And we don't know how we can change our emotions or our thoughts towards other people. For some of us, we just feel like there's no spiritual power. And we read some of these verses and we go, "That sounds wonderful," but then I say this little prayer or I try and read my Bible and it doesn't really work and it doesn't change, and I'm still in the spot that I was years ago, and I really don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. And for some of us, we realize that the problem isn't even superficial, that the problem is somewhere deeper within us. And man, I would love to see that change, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you love to see some power in your life to move forward spiritually, kind of deep within you, in your mindset, in your emotions, in your behaviors, in the way that you live and treat other people? Could you imagine if some of the things spiritually that, or relationally or emotionally or mentally that you think are out of reach today, could you imagine one day actually getting to the spot where you've wanted to be, feeling like there is this power in your life and that you're not the person that you used to be? And I think that's exactly the kind of journey that Jesus wants us to go on. I think that's where he's calling us to. It's what it means when we hear Jesus, we use this word, disciples, all the time. And Jesus is calling disciples, and we're supposed to be discipling people. And what does that even mean? We don't use that word in any other context, really. But it means to apprentice, like I'm going to become like Jesus, that he's going to actually teach me to be like him. And if that's going to happen, and if we're actually going to be able to grow and see that happen in our lives, we need to stop trying and start training. Because some of us have tried and tried and tried, and we don't feel like we're any further ahead than we were weeks, months, even years ago. But good news that we can train, that we can train to be like Jesus, that he actually calls us to train to be like him, and that he will actually give us the power to be more like him, to become more like him. To start doing the things that he did and thinking the way that he thought and feeling the way that he feels, that this is actually all in reach, that this is not something for spiritual giants somewhere out there to experience and the rest of us to just kind of bump along and never really see any movement in our lives, that this can actually be for us. But a lot of us, to be honest, you know, at one point, many of us, and you might not be here yet, but many of us at one point, we put our faith in Jesus. We, quote unquote, became a Christian. We sort of dipped our toe into the grace of God, but then found that there wasn't a lot of power for us to grow after that. And maybe you've been frustrated by that. Maybe you've been burdened by that. Maybe you've been really hurt by that. Look at this picture in Galatians chapter 5, the kind of couple of famous verses. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Just do a little comparing of the first three verses and then the next four. It says, the acts of the flesh are obvious, sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are not good picture of way to live. This is like your relationships are broken and hurting and life is kind of out of control and, you know, there's no limits and it leads to a terrible place emotionally and relationally and even physically, where people are not healthy and things are not going well in any way. He goes, and this is just not, that's just not the kingdom God brought. That's not what Jesus announced. That's not where he wants us to live. It's not how he wants us to experience life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step by the Spirit. And man, you just read that list and don't you go, that is what I want to experience. Man, if I was more loving, if I was more joyful, anybody? Man, I would love to have more joy at this time next year than I do today. At this time tomorrow as I do today, I want more joy. I want more peace in my life. I want to read that verse in Philippians and say, man, I experienced that peace, that I was so worried and so stressed out and my life was such a mess in some areas and just God's peace has taken over. Man, I want to be more patient. I want to be a better person for my family. I want kindness to ooze out of me. I just want to be good and faithful and gentle. I want to be in control of my life. I want to be able to stop doing things that I know are not good for me. I want to be able to stop doing things that come back to me and hurt me in my life and hurt the people that I love in my life. That is how I want to live. And another way to talk about the fruit of the Spirit is to say, this is what Jesus is like. You read those things, you read that list, and you just, where did Paul get this? How did he know if you live by the Spirit, these are the kinds of things you experience? Because that's what Jesus was like in his ministry, in his life as he walked the earth. That's a descriptor. And Jesus called us to be disciples, to be apprentices. Hey, come, follow me. If you do what I do, if you learn from me and put it into practice, you will start to grow in these things because Jesus opened up the Spirit of God to us, gave us his Spirit, said, come, follow me, and come experience this. Come experience a total different kind of life. Oh, man, what would it look like? Not just for us as individuals. I mean, what would it look like for us as a community? Like, look around the room a little bit. If this just became the kind of people that we were in increasing amounts, that we became a little more loving and a little more joyful, a little more peaceful, a little more patient and kind and good and faithful and gentle and self-controlled, what this community would be able to do and experience, what it would be like in your life, in your family, in your home, in our church, in our neighborhood, in our city, in our schools. It's just absolutely amazing. And so what we're doing today, called Soul Care Sunday, today is our first Soul Care Sunday. And I want to start talking about how we really can care for our soul, the part of us that brings all the parts together, the part of us that is who we are. And so what we're going to do about each month, we're going to take a Sunday out of whatever teaching series we're in, whatever else we're doing, and we're going to have a Soul Care Sunday. And in Soul Care Sundays, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some of the rhythms, some of the spiritual practices that Jesus teaches us. And we're just going to walk through them and be really practical about how we can practice the way of Jesus, live in the way of Jesus, address some of our deep issues, and start to build the rhythms of grace into our everyday lives where we are actually allowing ourselves to be opened up and surrendered to the Holy Spirit, working in our lives on a regular basis, setting ourselves before God and saying, transform me, make me more like Jesus, make me more like these things. And for some of us, the reality is, as much as we've come to church and, oh, I should pray and I should read the Bible and this or that, we don't feel like we're moving in this direction. And so what I want us to do is on these Soul Care Sundays to learn some of the practical stuff, we're going to give you a guide on those days. You see your sermon notes today. There's a little bit more than normal so that you can go home and look at that and read through that and hopefully know some of the ways you can start practicing these rhythms in your life. And at your life group, you're going to talk about it. And then I want you to practice them over a whole month. The reason why we're not just doing this in one series, like week after week after week, is because it takes time for us to develop these practices, these disciplines into our lives. And so I don't want to move on to another one next week. I want you to spend a month practicing the one that we're talking about, getting better at it, figuring out where you're weak and how you can get stronger, encouraging each other at life groups, and really building it in. And when we've kind of let some time go by, we'll come into another Soul Care Sunday and we'll talk about a different area of our life and work on it. And so what this really is spiritual formation is what we're talking about. How do we engage in real spiritual formation and allow God to work in us? This is a grace of God that he allows us to participate in our spiritual lives in such a way where we can see him grow. So that's the deal. That's what Soul Care Sundays are all about. I hope you're excited about that. I hope that you'll make an effort to be here every week, but on Soul Care Sundays, and to go into your life group and to bring not just some ideas mentally, but some of your experiences. You put these things into practice. There are a few spiritual formation fallacies that I want to talk about, because when we start to try and put these things into practice, there's some common pitfalls that most of us are going to fall in, and so let's just talk about them right up front. The first one is we depend too much on willpower. In our spiritual lives, we often, we talked about this a little bit at the beginning, we just want to will ourselves to be better people. I'm going to stop doing this thing. I'm going to start doing this thing. I'm going to try harder. And then it doesn't work. And we go, well, I was trying so hard. I don't know what happened. Willpower is an important part of who we are, but you need to understand it's only one part of who you are and your inner world. And willpower is very important part of our spiritual formation, but it's also weak at times, and it is a depletable resource. So when you give in to temptation, if you kind of tracked it a little bit and thought, when are the times where I really give in to temptation, whether it's in big ways or small ways, like even as simple as, when do you give in to temptation, just like go get greasy fast food because you're just, it's when you're tired. It's usually at the end of a day or after you do something really stressful. You get through an exam. That's what I always did after exams. I went right to McDonald's. It's kind of sick, but it was my thing. You get stressed out. Your willpower gets depleted. Then you give in. So when are you more likely to overspend? Well, maybe when you're stressed out and when you're tired and you've been trying so hard to keep things together in life, and you go, "That's it. I'm going to the mall." And you just things that maybe you wouldn't normally do, all of a sudden you do. We depend too much on just trying harder. There's a diagram I want to show you. This is from Dallas Willard, who did some amazing teaching on spiritual formation, died a couple of years ago. But he just represents here the different aspects of our lives. So our will or our heart is an important part of us. We might call that the spirit, and we don't want to ignore that. We're going to talk about that in these days. But we also have to think about our mind, which is our thoughts and our feelings that are connected to our thoughts. We have our body and our physicality, which is an important part of our spiritual formation. We have our social spheres. And how we relate with other people. And then we have our soul, which is, the part of us that brings all those things together and integrates our life. And what we're really looking for is soul health. How do I care for my entire self, the social, the body, physical, my mind, thoughts, feelings, and the will, and bring those together. So the problem is, if all we do is focus on the will, when we deplete the will, we fail, and we get discouraged. And so what we're talking about here is we need to go further than just our wills. It's more than just the willpower to be good. We need to actually become good. Talk about that in a minute. Second thing, fallacy. We want quick fixes. That's the world we live in. We want things to go fast, right? So you want to lose some weight, get in better shape. You go to the gym. You work out 3 times. The week is over. You step back on the scale. You go, "What happened? I thought I would have lost 10 pounds by now." And you go, "Oh, that's not the way it works. This takes time. Quick fixes, there are a lot of quick fixes. People will sell you quick fixes. Get rich quick, get thin quick, get this, that, the other thing quick. But the best things in life just don't happen fast. They happen slow. Spiritual formation is like that. So we go back to our passage and we say, "Well, I get really worried. I read Philippians chapter 4. It says, pray and tell God everything that I need instead of worrying. But then I keep worrying. What happens?" I don't think what Paul was saying is when you get worried, pray, and 10 seconds later, expect that God's fixed everything in your life. I think what he's saying is become people who pray more than you worry. Become people who pray all the time. Become people who pray about everything in their lives. Become people who pray every day. Become people who lift up everything in your life in prayer over and over and over. And do you know what happens over time? Over months and years and decades, is you become the kind of people that are more confident in your prayers than the things that worry you. But a lot of us, we're looking for that quick remedy now. And I think God can do that too. And I think sometimes he does and he calms us down really quickly. But for some of us, we go, "Why isn't this working on a regular basis?" We live in North America in 2020. We want everything fast. People who've really grown in the spirit know transformation often happens slow, over lots and lots of time, in good rhythms and routines that feed our souls deep within us, and that takes time. We don't like to wait, but the truth is that the things that really matter rarely change right away. They usually change incrementally over time, and so we just need to adjust our expectations sometimes and say, "Man, I really want to be more peaceful, but that might not happen this afternoon. All at once." Number 3, we get discouraged and we give up. We start to think, "I just can't do this." And to be honest, maybe we can't, right? We set out, spiritual discipline, spiritual formation. I'm going to do this new habit. And then tomorrow we set out to do what we're going to do and we don't do it, or it doesn't feel good, or it doesn't seem like it's work. And so we give up, we get discouraged. And again, we have to stop and say, some of this spiritual formation, if this is new to you, if this isn't something you have been practicing, it's going to be hard. And there's going to be failures along the way and bumps along the way and times where you go, "I thought this was going to work and it didn't work. And I thought I was going to feel this and I didn't feel this. I thought I was going to be able to concentrate and I couldn't concentrate." And just to say, hold on, let's just go into it knowing that there's going to be discouragements. Let's not give up. This is the long run, the long picture, big picture, our lives. How do we become more like Christ? And if it's going to take some time, let's not discourage. Let's kind of set our expectations where they're more realistic and say, "Man, even when I mess up, I'm going to get some people around me that encourage me." Hopefully your life group or some people, your family, some friends that get around you and go, "Okay, it's okay you messed up this week. Oh, it's okay. It wasn't good. We'll try again. Let's try something different. Let's work on it." There's a metaphor kind of, we already talked about the fruit of the Spirit. That kind of metaphor goes all the way through Scripture. And it's such an important one, talking about fruit. when we talk about how do I want to change, how do I want to be different, and having that language of fruit is important, because if you think about how you get fruit, you can't just try hard. Like, you can't go outside and be like, I'm going to try really hard to create an apple. It's just not going to happen. That's not how it works. You just can't try harder. And you also can't fake fruit. You can fake results sometimes. You know, you can fudge the numbers and you can lie about this and that. But fruit, it's just, it's real or it's not. It's healthy or it's unhealthy. It's evident and it grows. And so that's, again, what we're going to enter into as we talk about spiritual formation. We're looking about not just how do I do good things, but how do I become the kind of person that does good things? How do I become someone for whom these characteristics are growing out of me? So Matthew 7, Jesus says, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, a good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. And so you see the obvious principle here that if you want good things to grow out of your life, if you want the peace and the joy and the love and the kindness, you need to be working on your tree, the health of the tree. That's how you get fruit. You know, you make sure it's getting sun and you water it and you care for it and you prune it sometimes and all the rest of it. You can't just have fruit show up, but when you take care of the tree will naturally grow fruit. And so is how spiritual formation works. Jesus, similar metaphor, but in a different way, in John 15 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. You go, yeah, that's what we want. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile and be burned. We all know this. If you get a sick tree, you go, it's not for good for anything. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. When you start to become more like me, you're really my disciples. You're my apprentices. You're living in the way I've called you to live and taught you to live. And so our goal is to live in Christ, to spend time with him and become more like him and to let him transform us into healthy people who therefore live healthy lives, taking a holistic approach and surrendering our whole lives to God and allowing him to transform every part of us. We can't just try to do good things. We need to become the kind of people who do good things. Does that sound amazing? Does that sound a little challenging? Does it sound a little out of reach? I can't reach. Let's work on it together. And the way that we work on our spiritual formation is by practicing some of the pathways or disciplines that Jesus teaches us, trying to be like Jesus, to place ourselves in the presence of God and to let him interact with us. So today, what I want to talk about is meditation, this practice that just does that for us, helps us to fix our mind on Jesus. Meditation in the Christian context is a little different than meditation in some other religious traditions. In some religious traditions, meditation is about trying to detach or maybe trying to empty your mind, trying to get rid of all the stuff that might cloud us and all that kind of junk. And that's wonderful. Christian meditation, the difference is that in Christian meditation, we're not trying to empty our minds, we're trying to fill our minds, we're trying to fixate our minds on Christ, on Jesus. And so instead of just trying to empty it out and disconnect, we're actually trying to connect with Jesus, our vine. How do I make sure that I'm opening myself up and just focusing so much so that I can hear God speak to me and then I can allow his word to come into not only my mind, but then descend into my heart, touch my will, my emotion, everything about me, so that I allow the powerful words of God to change who I am over time. Again, not like this is going to happen in 30 seconds, but this, if it becomes a practice, something regular in your life, that week after week or even day after day, you're setting yourself, filling your mind with the things of Christ, we know this is one of the ways that he begins to transform us and change us. So let's get real practical. I'm going to teach you a little bit about how you can go about doing that. And my hope is that this week you'll go out and follow some of these instructions. Again, work through it with some people in your life group, friends, family. Figure out what's going well, not going well. You'll also see as we work through it in the month, your study guides that we often give you for life groups on the back of the notes when you come in. We will have kind of week to week, just a quick check-in on the bottom when you go to your life group. You can talk about whatever the sermon was that week, but also just check in with each other. Well, how did it go? You tried meditating this week? What was good? What was not good? And we'll give you some instructions there to give you kind of the month to work away. So here we go. Meditation. First, set some time aside, some dedicated time aside. If this is new for you, don't be like, oh, I got to meditate for an hour every day, because you're going to fail, you're going to get discouraged, you're going to quit. Start with 5-10 minutes, but dedicate some time. So time where you know that it's going to be quiet, time where you're not going to be distracted. This is going to be time where you turn off all your technology. There's no laptop, there's no phone, not even worship music. Some people, oh, I'll put worship in the music. No. This is time you want as quiet as you can get to have no distraction. Set that, and I know it's going to be tough for some of us, especially you got little kids. It might mean if you're a morning person, you're going to get up early. It might mean that you're going to do this after they go to bed or while they're napping or when somebody else can take them, maybe your spouse or a friend or something like that, and just set some dedicated time aside. If this is new for you, just start with 5-10 minutes. Set a timer, whatever, but this is going to be quiet time, undistracted time, where we're just going to do meditation. Choose a place, somewhere free from distractions. Again, remove all technology. Don't be sitting in front of a TV. Don't have your laptop open. Make it a place. Maybe you have a room in your house. Maybe it's a little tough in February in Hamilton, but maybe at certain points it's in nature somewhere where you can get away out into a forest or walking on a beach or near water, something that's really conducive to that. But find a place where there's no distractions, where you can find yourself at peace. Let people know in your family, hey, this is my time. So you're on with the kids, or don't bug me at this point, or all that kind of stuff. Think about your posture. So even as I'm doing this, I'm bouncing my leg. I always do that. Think about your body. Remember, your physicality is a big part of this. So relax your muscles. If you're a fidgety person like me and you're always bouncing and all that kind of stuff, just put your feet on the floor and rest. Take some deep breaths. The muscles that, you think through your muscles, maybe go through your entire body. What am I clenching? What am I really stressed out about? What do I need to let go? And just kind of let yourself relax, be still. Pick a scripture before you start. Choose a small section of scripture. So when you're meditating, could be just one verse. It could be a small section. It could be a little story, like a parable that Jesus tells, maybe that you can know really well. But choose what kind of, it could be just one verse, maybe two verses. Don't pick it like a whole book or something. It's not going to work. Just a really small part of scripture that you're going to work with. And that could be for that day. That could be you stick with it for an entire week or even longer as you're going to ask God to speak to you through it, to hear his voice, to really think about it and meditate on it, grab some. So for this round, just put some suggestions there. If you're wondering, where do I even start? Here's a few that might be good, might be a psalm or something Jesus said. If you're a worrier, maybe going back to that passage in Philippians and working through it, you can pick kind of whatever you want. Maybe if you're reading already through the Bible, you come to a verse that kind of stops you, or you go, wow, there's something about that and I want to stay on that, then choose that. And then we're going to meditate. Where do you start? First, read and reread your selected scripture. You might even memorize it. Read it and read it again and again and again and again, over and over and over. You want to get to know it like a friend. This isn't ultimately a really intellectual exercise. Your study is a different pathway. It's really important, and we'll talk about it another week. But here in meditation, we're just going to let the words run through our minds over and over and over and over. And if it's short enough, you probably naturally are going to kind of memorize it over time, but you want it to wash over you and to wash not only into your mind, but also into your emotions, into your heart, into your will. So turn it over in your mind continually. We could say ruminate on it. So ruminate means like to chew. Use your imagination to connect with the emotional and spiritual aspects of what you're reading. So what emotions kind of spring forth as you read it and reread it and read it again and again and again? Some of them, if it's a parable or a story, or if there's a little bit of a setting where it tells you the setting, you might actually imagine that you're there hearing it. So if it's, say, Jesus saying something, you might imagine what it would be like actually sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing this. What would we imagine his sound of voice to be? You might hear, feel the heat of being in the Middle East, or if you have a setting, you're by the water, maybe you can imagine hearing the water in the background and what that would be like, and really just trying to allow all of your senses to pick up what is it that's here and experience it. And don't rush through this. Again, so first you read, reread, reread, and then ruminate. Use your imagination. Ask God to sanctify your imagination. And just be thinking through and imagining the setting, the emotion. If it's a metaphor, we'll talk about this before we're done, one of them that we've read already. If it's a metaphor, to imagine what's the word picture that we're giving, and therefore, again, what emotions or feelings or intellectual things are impacting us. And then after we ruminate, we take some time to rest. A lot of times when we go in prayer to God, we're always talking. God, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. Just rest. Allow God to speak to you. Be quiet. Allow for space for God to speak. Don't feel like you have to fill the intellectual space there, but just open yourself up. And maybe God has a word for you. Or maybe you just end up sitting there in silence for a few moments. And if that's the case, that's awesome. Just enjoy it. Sometimes people go, well, no huge things happened. I didn't have a huge breakthrough. I didn't come up with some amazing devotional thought. That's okay. Part of the point is that sometimes you sit in quiet, and the benefit is that you got to sit in quiet in God's presence. Sometimes you come with some inspiration, something jumps out at you, and you go, oh, that's a beautiful thing, and I wouldn't have got that if I didn't sit here for 10 minutes or 20 minutes, and I feel like God's, that's wonderful too. Both are good, but don't be discouraged if one happens or the other happens or neither happen. Sometimes this is just about, it's okay. You're stressed out. You're busy. You're always going. Just sit and rest. What a great gift. And then reflect. As you finish through your meditation, maybe you'll journal some things. What was hard for you? Was it hard to concentrate? Was it hard to stay the whole time? Was it hard to cut it off because you wanted to continue doing it? What was easy? What came easy? What things do you feel like God spoke to you? Did you not feel like God spoke to you? All those things are valid. Maybe write some of them down. And as you go along, there'll be days where it'll be a different experience. You can come back and learn different things, even from your own experience. You might even be tracking progress. Like, oh, the first day, 3 minutes seemed like an eternity to sit in quiet and meditate in God's presence. And you might a year later look back on that and go, wow, now I can do 4 minutes and it doesn't even seem that hard. But just do some reflecting, and maybe God's calling you to change something as a result of your time with him, what you've read, what you've understood, what he's impressed upon you. Let those impressions wash through your mind, into your emotions, even your physicality, and be in the presence of God. So my meditation this week was from John 15. We read a few verses there, and just one verse that I was meditating on where Jesus says to his disciples, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, it is they who will bear much fruit. I am the vine, and you are the branches. You do something for me just in the next minute or two. You close your eyes and just listen. Just listen. Just take this in. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. I am the vine. Picture a thick vine. You're in a vineyard. There's greenery around. Things are growing. You can see that thick vine, and it looks so ordinary, so normal. But in it flows life and vitality, nutrients abundantly, all just under the surface. I am the vine. I am the vine. I am the vine. I am the vine. Can you picture it? Is it sunny out? Are you relaxed? What does the scenery look like? Is there beauty? Are you in awe of what you see in the vineyard? You, plural, are the branches. You are the branches. You, guys, hear Jesus speak to us as a community, and not just you as an individual, but all the people sitting around you, people who aren't here, people who are in your life group. You are the branches. Do you see the branches? They're not as big as the vine. but they're all connected to the vine. They're getting bigger. You are the branches. You are deriving the nutrients. You are having the life spill into you from the vine. You are the branches. You are the branches. You are the branches. What does it feel like to be a branch? What does it feel like to have the life of God flowing into you? Can you sense peace? Can you sense love? Can you sense his goodness and faithfulness? There might be parts of you as a branch that really hits up against, that you really need to feel that deeply. The Spirit of God strengthening you so that you can grow. You are the branches. And those who remain in me, those who live in me, abide in me, stay in me, are connected to Jesus, the branches that stay on the vine. And those who I stay in, Jesus stays in. The vine does not become disconnected to. Those who have a vital connection, those who don't do anything to be a branch, but simply are a branch connected to the vine, it is those who bear fruit. Grapes that are beautiful. They look good. They taste good. They're nourishing. Sometimes you don't see the grapes, but if the vine is healthy and the branches are healthy, they show up. Can you imagine love sprouting in your life and in our church? Can you imagine faithfulness growing? Look how beautiful it is. Can you imagine peace invading the empty space in the vineyard where maybe you were worried that no grapes were ever going to grow? I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them, they will bear much fruit. Heavenly Father, in these quiet moments, I pray that you would help us to open up our hearts, our minds, our bodies, the social part of us, and that you would be able to invade all that we are. God, we will be challenged to sit in these quiet moments. Would you give us strength and support? Would you meet us when we set time aside to meet you? In our meditations, would your word come alive to us and not only enter as intellectual thoughts, but that too, but also as emotion and as depth and as nutrient and as the goodness of life that you pour into us. God, help us to spend more and more time with you and fix our mind upon you. And as we do that, God, fill us up with your Holy Spirit. Help us not to be discouraged, but over time, God, would you allow our lives to bear the fruit of being with you and being open to you and allowing you to transform us. Thank you for Jesus, who is the vine and who so wonderfully invites us to be his branches. May we be a people who bear much fruit. Amen.